Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining us now is David Brock, the founder and chairman of Media Matters and the author of five books, including The Republican Noise Machine, Right-Wing Media and How It Corrupts Democracy, and his best-selling memoir, Blinded by the Right, The Conscience of an Ex-Conservative. His new book, just out today, is The Fox Effect, How Roger Ailes Turned a Network into a Propaganda Machine. Welcome to Background Briefing, David Brock.
Thank you very much. I appreciate being on.
And when Fox began, Rupert Murdoch, do you think he did, because he hired Roger Ailes, was he motivated by a business decision? In other words, I'm going to carve out the kind of right-wing niche in this country, or was it a purely ideological decision?
Well, I think on Murdoch's part, they saw a commercial opportunity. And the original idea for Fox and what it actually looked like until fairly recently was the model was bringing conservative talk radio to television. And so that is a model they followed for some years. What we document in the book is a change really since 2008 in which the network begins to look much more like a partisan political operation than any kind of journalistic institution, and operates, in fact, I think you could argue, does a better job than the Republican National Committee in terms of raising money, putting out the Republican message, and also mobilizing conservative grassroots.
And in terms of Roger Ailes, of course, he came from the highest levels, if you will, of Republican circles. He was a media consultant for Richard Nixon, Ronald Reagan, and George H.W. Bush with little journalistic experience, and the results speak for themselves. But I'm surprised in many ways that the argument is not made against what they do because, you know, they've confiscated the flag and taken the patriotic high ground, which is pretty much how right-wingers operate in this country. The assumption is that they're patriotic and liberals are somehow, you know, if they're not agents of a foreign power, they're lily-livered in terms of their patriotism. The long and the short of it is that, you know, I used to work on the Cold War. I spent a lot of time in the Soviet Union, and we would often meet with reporters of TASS and Pravda, and a lot of them were KGB, but a lot of them were just journalists who were basically told what to say by the government. And it seems to me so deeply un-American that you would have a television network that would be the voluntary Ministry of Information for a sitting government or a political party in this case. In other words, Fox is the Pravda of the Republican Party, and it seems to me shameful and un-American.
Well, sure. Let me say a couple things about that. Number one, I think that we show in this book that Roger Ailes had a plan dating from the early 1970s to put the GOP on television. And there was references to that in exchange of memos between Ailes and other people in the Nixon White House. There was an attempt by Joseph Coors to fund such a network in the early 1970s. It failed, but I think Ailes never, even though he continued in his career in politics, I think he never gave up on that idea. And since President Obama came into office, when Ailes declared that moment to be the Alamo, and they've really waged a war against the administration. And as I mentioned earlier, they've taken on all of the attributes of a partisan political operation. We show in the book, according to a study we did at Media Matters, you had 30 Fox employees, both on the air and off the air, in sort of co-branded Fox-type events around the country, raising more than $50 million for Republican and conservative causes. So Fox becomes a money machine, and candidates know it. Brown in Massachusetts, Sharon Angle in Nevada. We're getting blanket news coverage where they were openly soliciting funds. Secondly, on message, we've traced, and this can be somewhat embarrassing or even comical, but we've traced some examples where Fox in its Fox Facts or talking points that they put up on the air or in their chyroning, they're copying verbatim from Republican National Committee and Republican press releases and websites, in one case down to repeating a typographical error. That's how much they were copying the message. And then I think the third thing, which is also new, is this idea that they can mobilize the conservative base. And what we saw in April 2009, where Fox ran before the Tea Party protests materialized, Fox was running, you know, more than 100 free commercials promoting these events around the country where their hosts were staked out around the country. And it's becomes kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy when you have, under the false guise of journalism, you have a network out there promoting news events and then covering them as if they had no role in actually producing them. And so I think altogether, you know, what you're saying about this being a kind of Republican National Committee on steroids and it being unprecedented and it having really a bad, I think, effects on our democracy is all in the book and is all correct.
David Brock, you know, you were a Republican operative and you wrote about your experience and your epiphany, if you will, in Blinded by the Right, The Conscience of an Ex-Conservative. And it's pretty logical, isn't it, that the Republicans, in order to get elected, have to get Democratic votes and they have to peel off the blue-collar working-class guys, the so-called Reagan Democrats. And that seems to be what Fox has done on steroids. You know, you've got these faux populists like Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity, these multimillionaire guys pretending to be good working class stiffs. And essentially, they just throw out all kinds of red meat and extraneous, you know, obscure stories about some lesbian academic statement in some obscure university that nobody's ever heard of. And they build that up into a national story. Do you think, though, that they've been too successful? After all, they championed the Tea Party, and the current dysfunction now with the Republican race brings into stark contrast this dilemma where you've got the fired up, you know, base, and then you've got the Republican establishment realizing that the party's on a suicidal path.
Right. Well, so I think that's right. I mean, first of all, Fox does use phony and trumped up cultural kind of wedge issues to activate that Reagan Democratic base. For example, the war on Christmas that they claim is going on in the country that actually isn't, where they take a small incident and rip it out of context, or in fact just manufacture it to create the idea that there's all this anti-Christian sentiment in the country.
And the current war on religion. I mean, the current war on religion, surely.
Sure,
which is
absolutely.
Their latest.
The use by Fox of race to divide the country. This is something that is a subtext in a lot of the stories, trumped up stories about voter fraud, for example, or the Shirley Sherrod incident that folks will remember, where they used a doctored tape. And so you have all that going on. And then I think the point about the Tea Party is right, that there's a kind of irony here, which I was referring to a little earlier with this Fox primary, the irony being that they may, you know, be careful what you wish for. And I think some of the chaos in the Republican Party and how it at least appears to be, you know, falling apart to some extent is directly traceable to what Fox did both politically and to drive its audience back in 2009 and 2010, that some of the seeds of the confusion now in the Republican field were planted by Fox itself.
So do you think Roger Ailes is getting an earful? I mean, I thought that he and Murdoch were, you know, prided themselves on being Republican kingmakers and you know, Republicans are much more pragmatic about power. They don't, you know, let ideological inconsistencies get in the way of their determination to be take over the levers of power. And they're in a pretty good shape in terms of taking over the Senate, in terms of the numerical advantages they have. I don't know whether they can hold on to the House, but they certainly want the White House, and they're almost obsessed and irrational in their hatred of Obama. Roger Ailes could be blowing it all for them, right?
Right. I think it's possible. I think that, you know, there's some division likely in Fox itself. You have a figure like Karl Rove, who's a Fox News contributor, who clearly representing more of the conservative Republican establishment has seemingly always been for Romney. You know, there's no question that the Fox audience was cheering on folks like Bachman, folks like Herman Cain. You even saw in some polling Fox audience preferences in some of the early primaries never getting behind the front runner Romney. So there are unintended effects here, and I certainly don't think that in the primary process Fox is necessarily kingmaker. I think where their role comes in is once the primary is settled, as you suggested, ramping up the attacks on President Obama. And I think we'll feel the full force of that as Fox and the Republicans try to get back the White House.
We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back in a moment continuing the conversation with David Brock, the author of the brand new book, The Fox Effect, How Roger Ailes Turned a Network into a Propaganda Machine. Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And we're continuing the conversation with David Brock, the founder and chairman of Media Matters and the author of five books, including The Republican Noise Machine, Right-Wing Media, and How It Corrupts Democracy, and his best-selling memoir, Blinded by the Right, The Conscience of an Ex-Conservative. His new book, just out today, is The Fox Effect, How Roger Ailes Turned a Network into a Propaganda Machine. Now, in terms of Ailes' own delusions of power, which obviously he has some real power and he has changed the political landscape in this country, arguably to its detriment, but he apparently has almost as much security as President Obama. Who does he think is out to get him?
Well, it's been reported, at least in one instance, that he has felt that gay rights activists were out to get him. I don't think security would be necessary to ward folks off. But, you know, there are legitimate concerns that people would have with Fox News content. And, you know, the way we document that here at Media Matters is to, you know, to put on our website both fact checks and also incidents of some of the more incendiary comments and offensive comments that come out of the Fox News channel. We are trying to mobilize folks against the misinformation that comes out of Fox News, but there's no, I don't think there's any implied or certainly no direct threat that anybody's aware of. There's just concern out there.
So your brand new book just out today, The Fox Effect, How Roger Ailes Turned a Network into a Propaganda Machine. It has lots of transcripts of leaked audio and memos from the Fox reporters and executives, which it would indicate to me that there's some conscience there in terms of journalistic professionals appalled by the naked kind of Joseph Goebbels-like agenda that's being foisted on them by Roger Ailes. I mean, did they just adopt this fair and balanced thing in the deepest and most cynical Orwellian idea? Is that the idea that, you know, it's the big lie theory, right?
Right. No, I think that's right. And I think that was intentional on Roger Ailes' part. But what we've proven in the book, which I think is, you know, proved for the first time, that it is conscious and that it is intentional in terms of distorting and skewing the news. We do have memos that leaked out of the Fox News channel where the Washington, D.C. bureau chief is instructing the news staff how to distort when they're reporting on things like healthcare. He writes in one of the memos to never use the term public option, but to use the term government option. And Frank Luntz, the Republican pollster and wordsmith, had previously been on the record saying that whenever you put government attached to a phrase, it decreases people's favorability toward it. So they were clearly trying to play a political role there. Another memo on climate change instructs the news department to introduce skepticism and introduce the false notion that their scientific community is quite divided on the issue. And so you have all those cases where we've now documented and seen it, that people are being instructed. And then we've shown in our own monitoring of the program that this actually does happen, that the memos are followed and have an effect. You're also right that there's dissension within Fox News. Obviously, there are folks who've talked to us. There are some Fox executives. There are these leaks. There was one correspondent, Major Garrett, who by most accounts was actually a real reporter who left seemingly as an act of conscience. And so you do have pockets of conscience and dissension in there. It's just that the people running the show are running the show.
So David Brock, how does the Fox then recruit these Democratic quislings that they have on, who are cast as Democrats to give them their illusion of fair and balance, but their main job is to attack the Democratic Party from within, if you will, and they're pretty sort of shameless, and it's pretty obvious. You know, the woman that ran Dukakis' campaign, Susan Estridge, and Alan Combs, of course, is almost typecast as the kind of weak, lily-livered liberal. And there's another guy that's a Democratic strategist, Bob somebody or other, I can't remember his name now.
Beckel.
Bob Beckel, exactly. Yeah. Do you have any idea of what makes those kind of people tick and why they haven't been pulled over and why the Democratic Party hasn't repudiated them? Because they really are, to use the old KGB phrase, useful idiots.
Yeah, well, this has been a source of, be right to say, frustration on the part of Fox critics like Media Matters, that they do enable the network to show, if not fairness, to show balance. And so in some of the counting surveys one would do, you would see that they do book a number of their own in-house Fox Democratic contributors. There are two types, which I think you touched on. One would be the Democrat who adopts conservative positions, and so is essentially a Democrat in name only, and that would be somebody like a Pat Caddell, who's on fairly frequently. And then the other, as you suggested, were the weaker Democrats who come across as not skilled in debate, not tough. And they're there for the effect that Alan Combs used to be there for. They're there as punching bags. And there's an element, I think, in the Fox audience that likes to see the conservative, the O'Reilly, the Hannity, as the bully. And the Democrat is playing the role, of the person who's abused by this. And so I think that's essentially the setup. It's hard to get inside the minds of the people who allow themselves to be used, but it is known. I mean, Fox is very generous with what it pays its contributors. And so some of this is obviously just bought and paid for.
So what do you think then is the answer, if you will, in terms of real fairness and real balance? One of the problems that I see in the way, the effect that Fox has had on our national discourse is that we are reaching a point now in this country where the truth doesn't matter. He who manipulates and spins the truth wins the argument, and that we have this phenomenon now of reality shopping, where conservatives get their reality from Fox, Christians get their reality from Christian broadcasting, progressives get their reality from MSNBC, and so on. And we're in a point where there's a dangerous lack of consensus about what is true, and that the fairness and balance model, which has pervaded journalism and journalistic schools, this idea that in the universe of discourse there are two black and white opinions and they're equal and opposite, this has led to creationism being equated with evolution, it's led to the denial of global warming because, after all, that's just another opinion, and so on. And I'm sort of in despair about whether or not we're going to survive as a country when the truth matters less and less.
Well, I think that's right, and I think Fox is not solely responsible for this, but I think in large measure it certainly is. You referenced, my time in the conservative movement. I got out of the conservative movement before Fox really became the prominent force that it is in the Republican Party. What David Frum probably said it best, when he said, we used to think that Fox worked for us, and now we all work for Fox. And the division and the polarization that's part of their model has created, I think, division and polarization in the country. They've created a counterfactual kind of universe. Anybody who knows, has friends or relatives who watch Fox News, would be familiar with the phenomenon whereby you can't agree on the basics. You can't agree on the basic facts. And so that leads to a situation where the country often looks ungovernable. You can't have progress on climate legislation when a substantial part of the public is being told that there's no problem. You can't have Republicans participate in the effort to reform health care when their constituents are being told that there are death panels. And so, I think it's a very serious problem for democracy. I think you have misinformed people who are making misinformed choices on policy, making misinformed choices in the voting booth. The most recent survey that I saw showed that people who don't watch the news are more informed than people who watch the Fox News channel. And so it is a very serious problem. It's a problem for progressives, but I think the more important problem is that it's a problem for the proper functioning of democracy, and they are brazen, and they go about this with every intention of misinforming.
Well, I thank you for joining us here today, David Brock.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
No problem. Thank you. Again, I've been speaking with David Brock, the founder and chairman of Media Matters and the author of 5 books, including The Republican Noise Machine, Right-Wing Media and How It Corrupts Democracy, and his best-selling memoir, Blinded by the Right, The Conscience of an Ex-Conservative. His new book just out today is The Fox Effect, How Roger Ailes Turned a Network into a Propaganda Machine. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking about Rick Santorum and others' moral inconsistency.
No, I don't want to start.